Hi, I'm Alan Carrington from the University of Adelaide, and we're on day two of Create World 09. And with me is Justin McDonald. I'm going to let Justin do his own introduction, but we've just sat through Justin sharing with us about In the Absence of Criticism. I must say, that's one of the most provocative keynote presentations I've ever been to. Justin, welcome, and you're from ANZARTS. Could you tell me what that is?
Indeed, I can. It's ANZARTS Institute is a think tank and policy analysis centre in the arts in Australia and in New Zealand, hence the ANZ, ANZARTS, and I'm the executive director
of that. Tell me, what do you mean in the absence of criticism?
Well, I guess what I was talking about is my concern that in an increasingly web-based world, we may be in danger of eroding some of our communal memories, some of our communal records, some of the research and information deposit, if you like, that enables us to conduct a critical discourse about the arts with the public. My biggest concern, I suppose, is the way in which there's been a proliferation of people writing through blogs and other kinds of web 2.0 forms, social networking and so on, in which there is very little provenance, in which there are no credentials for what's being said or written. And what does the public do, and how do we, as practitioners in the arts and cultural communities, respond to that challenge?
It's bigger than the arts.
Oh, yes.
It's way bigger than the arts.
Much bigger than the arts. In fact, I guess one of the reasons why it was interesting to make these points in an academic conference such as this is that I think it crosses all disciplines. My particular concern, of course, happens to be the arts, but I think it is about research in general, and it's about the provenance of material and records and knowledge right across the spectrum.
You know, there were so many incredibly profound comments or concepts that not only you but everybody in the audience were throwing around. Things like, I think this is one of yours, was it community dementia?
Oh, yes.
Was that right?
Well, it was, yes. Yeah. I'm simply making the point in perhaps a rather colourful way that, you know, we've all witnessed loss of memory in individuals through dementia of one kind or another, and how when people lose their short-term or long-term memory, they end up living in what I call a condition of continuous presence.
Presence, yeah. And
my concern is that we may be running the risk of entering socially, as a society, an era of continuous present whereby our memory, from a community point of view, becomes progressively eroded, and we don't have the capacity to recover it in the way we have had in the past.
But what about digital repositories, etc.?
Well, of course, all of that is true, and it's not so much those things that we... My concern is not actually so much those things that we make active steps to archive, because we've always done that. I mean, we archive all kinds of material and we'll go on doing so, and the digital age isn't going to make much difference to that. What I'm concerned about is the things that increasingly get thrown away through email, through all of these websites that don't have a paper trail, if you like, that can't be recovered in 10 or 15 years' time because the means of accessing them or retrieving them may be lost. It's not like old papers and old books getting stuck in an attic somewhere and 50 years' time you come across them. You come across an old magnetic tape today.
You're right.
If it's over a certain age, there's a fair chance you will never be able to recover what was on it.
Someone from the audience talked about the new media being the... what was the term he used? The new media being the oral culture of the 21st century.
Absolutely, and I think that's completely right. The difference being is that we still in that oral, still in that new media, rely upon its memory rather than ours.
Right.
And whereas in past eras where there were great oral cultures, people relied on their own memory and used increasingly writing and other things as aids to that. Now we have transferred our memory into the digital repositories of one kind or another, and in some cases have completely lost the capacity to use memory. And mental arithmetic is a perfect and simple example of that.
Right.
Not that people can't do it, but they've lost the capacity to learn how to do it and the need.
Dan, how does criticism fit into you? Talking, what was...
Well, what concerned me was with the progressive elimination of the formal organs of record, like newspapers and journals and things like that, into digital formats, or even their complete replacement by digital formats, we run the risk there too of not knowing what the provenance of information is. The plethora of blog sites in which everyone is having a comment about everything really makes it very difficult, I think, for the public, not so much for the commercianti, but the public, to know who to trust. Whose authority is this said on? Where does the critical voice reside? That can be a guide and an inspiration and a stimulus. And it's hard, I think, for any of us today to know what the provenance of information is.
Yeah, I've been, I think the right word is blessed, living in cultures like the Polynesians and the strong oral cultures of the Indigenous people. And, you know, when the elders and the way they pass down the past.
And look what happens in those cultures when, for one reason or another, it breaks down.
Yes.
You know, where the young don't learn because they're distracted with other things, or they're somehow taken out of the loop, or they decide that it's a bit stuffy and old-fashioned and they don't want to learn that stuff. Very quickly in those societies, you start to see the breakdown of society itself. Now, I'm not suggesting that's about to happen in ours, but these are critical issues, I think, and we have a great responsibility, I think, to think very seriously about what we do about them.
Yeah, and over lunch we were discussing the similarity between this and the environmental green issues, and how important it is for us to try to think globally but do locally.
Absolutely.
So the question has got to be, and you know it's coming, what in the world am I going to do about
it? Well, I think you're right. In the sense, we all have to take responsibility for it. Look, I think we've all been pretty hopeless about archiving material anyway. I mean, throughout our lives. We live in a progressively throwaway society in which we chuck things out all the time. And thank God there have been traditional custodians of information like libraries and museums and the like that have looked after this material. One of the people speaking today in the question and answer afterwards said, I think very, very persuasively, we have to move from being custodians to being curators. And I thought she made that point very well.
She did.
In the sense, I took her to mean that we need to move from being simply, you know, passive collectors to active hunters, if I may use that term. Hunters and gatherers.
What are we hunting for?
I think we're hunting to ensure that we have a future.
We're hunting for a future.
I think we're for a future for the material that is out there. I think that what she was saying is we can. It's no longer enough for material simply to go into archives, either by design or accident, and be looked after there. We have to, as institutions and as individuals, actively think about what it is we want to preserve and how we want to preserve it. Look, at a personal level, I think it can be as simple as making sure you back things up. One of the people on the panel said, have everything in two places.
Yeah.
It's a good rule, I think. And you know, we all talk about this, but how many of us actually really rigorously back up anything?
Yeah,
I know I don't.
Yeah. I don't either. Well, the thing that was coming to my mind as I shared over lunch was this two or three literal bags full of photographs that we've taken around the world as my children have grown up on the road, which has been tremendous. And what am I going to do about it? I've got to start to actively map.
Absolutely.
Personal journey and the family journey.
Do you know, it really, something very interesting happened, which I wasn't aware of at the time. Just before my mother, not before she died, but before she went into a kind of decline, if you like, she went through all the photographs that she had of crucial family things, made copies of them, and distributed the copies to various family members so that there was more than one copy of everything that she had. She wanted to make sure that people had the things that most meant something to them, but she also wanted to make sure, and I never talked to her about this and I wasn't even aware of it because I wasn't one of the people who got the copies, but other people got them and told me afterwards that she'd done this. she'd always been the repository of family history. I mean, if anyone wanted to know anything about, you know, late Aunt Gertrude,
she would be.
She was the person who always knew and kept that alive.
I think in nearly every family story.
There's always somebody like that, absolutely. Yeah. But I was so impressed when I discovered that she'd done this, that she'd actually made, and she wasn't, you know, she'd simply gone to the chemist and had them make copies of it. She wasn't a high-tech lady at all. She couldn't use a computer to save herself. But she understood the need to be a curator, to actively intervene and do it. And I think that's really what we individually and as a society need to do, is simply be more conscious of how we store things, how we retain them, and not run the risk that we ourselves will lose stuff. But I think we also need to demand some provenance in what we consume. I mentioned in the course of my talk that Wikipedia, which of course has been open slather these many years now, and no one knew where anything had come from or who had edited it, not whose authority, and you never knew whether you were reading, you know, a piece of self-promotion or a considered thing, and it was all of those things. They've now stopped that open access. And I think, and I like to believe, that's in a response to people saying, excuse me, I want to know who wrote this.
Yes.
I want to know on what authority somebody said this. I want to know who gave them authority to put my life story in Wikipedia, for instance. Yes. And I'm sure there were people who complained about that.
I'm sure.
Or the story of my company or my organisation or my institution.
We're going to wrap it up, Justin, but I would challenge you to come up with part two of this. Right? Now, I'm serious.
Okay.
Because what I think it would be of immense value to everybody is some way to develop, I don't know what, I'm struggling with the terms, open source curating.
Open source curating, wow, what a good idea.
And how do we make the paradigm shift from, what was the word, not the first term?
From custodianship.
Custodians
to curatorial.
And I'm going to finish there.
That's a really good challenge. Okay, same time next year.
Same time next year. We can do this.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Justin McDonald about a fascinating subject, guys. I hope you enjoy the podcast episode. Justin, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.